And good morning. You're not going to believe it. It's 73 degrees outside. I can't even remember the last time it's been 79. Maybe this is a harbinger of things to come when it comes to the weather. Well, this program is Health Essentials. I'm your host, Dr. Roy Morgan. The phone number here at the station is 903-586-5257. On one level, when it comes to trying to restore your health, it's pretty straightforward. That means there's things that you have to do, and there's things that you have to stop doing, or things you want to avoid or remove from your diet so you have a chance to heal. I think I'm really super smart when I say this. I'm just joking, you know that. Every human being, the longer that you live on this earth, you're going to have one opportunity after another to take care of yourself. Because we're living on a planet that has some issues. And there's laws of gravity that you have to obey. Which means if you have a fall, or if you trip, or if you're putting hay up in the barn and you fall out of the top loft onto the cart below, you're probably going to have some significant injuries. And so you have your choice of, what am I going to do to take care of myself? Even if you haven't had a catastrophic injury, you're going to have plenty of opportunities to try to improve your health. Whether it's musculoskeletal, damage to the nervous system or the brain, maybe you have very poor circulation right now. Maybe you've gotten into a lifestyle where you're very sedentary and you live a life of, I started to say Googling. What I meant to say is, do you realize how catastrophic it really is to sit all day long? It is horrible for your body. Absolutely horrible. Okay. Research topic number one. According to a new study published in the journal Neurology, even small amounts of exercise, and they're saying like walking 15 minutes a day, and what they're referring to is 15 continuous minutes a day. Some people say, well, I walk from the couch to the bathroom. Well, okay, good for you. But what we're talking about is a small amount of exercise, like going for a 15-minute walk a day. They're finding in this journal Neurology, it has a noticeable effect on almost all the regions of the brain. In order to obtain their data, the researchers used data from the population-based Rhineland study, specifically looking at the physical activity data from 2,500 volunteers, and they were aged 30 to 94. If you don't know me, I'm in that category. I'm between 30 and 94. Probably some people that have looked at my internet picture think that I'm 95. That's not me. Additionally, they analyzed brain images obtained by magnetic resonance imaging, or an MRI. To measure physical activity, the study participants, they wore what's called an accelerometer on their upper thigh for 7 days. Yeah, 7-day study here. While the MRI scans provide information particularly on brain volume and thickness of the cortex, they found that physical activity had a noticeable impact on almost all brain regions, specifically in areas where there are large numbers of mitochondria, which provide our body with energy. Brain regions with a lot of mitochondria, they need a lot of oxygen, and therefore they require increased blood flow. The researchers state that increased blood flow occurs during physical activity, possibly explaining why these brain regions benefit from exercise. You know, this ain't rocket science. When you move your body continuously for 15 minutes, like going for a walk, maybe it's just 7.5 minutes away from the front door of your house out into the pasture, and you turn around when your alarm goes off and you say, I'm going to walk 7.5 minutes back, and wow, I just did a 15-minute brisk walk. According to the researchers, they make the comment, they can say that the higher and the more intense the physical activity, the larger the brain regions were, either with regard to the volume or the cortical thickness of the brain. This is according to Fabian Fox, a neuroscientist and lead author of the current study, and I'm going to quote her. In particular, we observe this in the hippocampus, which is considered the control center of memory. You got to remember that your hippocampus is what shrinks and shrivels up and atrophies when a person has Alzheimer's. And she goes on to say, larger brain volumes provide better protection against neurodegeneration than small ones. You know what that means? That means as you're aging and living on this earth, the bigger your brain is, the better. And how do you do that? You go for a walk. Okay. That's article number one. If you want to join me on the radio and ask a question or make a comment, there is a phone line open at 903-586-5257. Okay, here's number two. And I know this stuff is so simple, but if you can at least digest it and take it to heart, you can start to put it in practice. What if all you did was just tell yourself, I am going to move my body for 15 minutes a day? Hey, that's not that much. I talk to people all the time, and I ask them, what happened? And they'll say, well, I couldn't walk this entire month, Dr. Morgan, because laundry takes up all my time all day long. I'm going, okay, all right. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Morning, Dr. Morgan.
How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. A week and a half ago, I went to the emergency room in Henderson because I was having trouble with urinating and bowel movements. And they inserted a Foley catheter and drained out about 2.25 liters of urine from my bladder.
Did you just say 2.25 liters?
Yes.
Oh, bless your heart.
And then they ran me through the CAT scan and said that the prostate was swollen, restricting the urethra, and that was backing things up in the bladder and backing up in the kidneys, and the kidneys were swollen. And so then they...
Bless your heart.
They kept me overnight in observation, and they ran blood tests and a CAT scan the next day, and the blood test showed that there was a better kidney function and also that things were reducing as far as the swelling in the kidneys, and the bladder was retracting. But the problem I have now is having any kind of a decent bowel movement, and things are backed up and difficult to have a bowel movement, and a decent one.
Did you have this problem before you went to the hospital?
Yeah, slightly.
Well, did they give you some type of a pain reliever like a hydrocodone?
No, they gave me a, let's see, it seemed like it was a Senna S, which was a stimulant and a mild laxative, and they also gave me a pill, I think I'll call it Flomax, for helping to shrink the prostate. And then now I've got an appointment to go see a urologist next week to see what they can do about the prostate. But the problem now is the bowel movements.
Okay. They do have a suppository that's easy to get. It's called Magic Pill.
You say Magic Pill or Magic Pill?
I think it's called the Magic Pill.
Okay.
I could be wrong about that. Maybe I should try to look it up real quick. But, yeah, here, I'll look it up for you. I want to be able to give you, like, the best information here. But that's what you use, like, an emergency-type setting. It's a suppository. And I know that doesn't sound pleasant, but sometimes you got to open everything up. So there, you got lots of options.
Right.
You can, well, come on, phone. You can tell I'm not good at multitasking. Here, I'll find the name of it. I'm almost there. Okay. Oh, I'm sorry. See, I botched it. It's called the Magic Bullet. I'm so sorry. they're boy, did I botch that one. Forgive me. All right, it's called the Magic Bullet, but it's a suppository. And that's one of the things that you could do. But let me just tell you the simple things that you can do to help yourself right now. What you got to do is you just probably have, even when you described your prostate and all the urine backed up and it was just swollen, the urine backed up in the kidneys, they couldn't drain because it had nowhere to go. You had 2.5 liters in the bladder, poor guy.
Right.
And so your colon's probably the same way right now. It's all backed up. And it's probably got quite a bit of debris in there. So let me tell you two or three things that you can do right now. If you're willing, you could take 2 to 3 tablespoons of just a plain Jane extra virgin olive oil, stir it in a little bit of juice. If you want to put it in the blender to make it work better, you could take apple juice and blend up this 3 tablespoons of extra virgin olive oil. And what that will do is the oil will lube you up or lubricate that area. It'll make it much easier to have a bowel movement.
Okay.
The other thing that you can do to kind of prep the bowels for elimination is you could eat a fair amount of prunes, which are dried plums.
Right. I've been trying prune juice, but prunes themselves are better.
Well, that's just my opinion. I think any time that you can get the whole food is better than getting the juice byproduct.
Okay.
So at least that's just an idea right there, and you could eat a lot of them. I don't know if I told you the story one time, but I went to the health store here in Jacksonville, and it said on the package these were dried cherries. And I thought, man, that looks good. I want to try some dried cherries. Well, they mislabeled them. They weren't cherries. They were prunes. And so very aggressively, I ate about 15 before I went back to work, and guess what happened to Roy?
Yeah.
Yeah, I visited the bathroom several times that afternoon. I just laugh about stuff like that, though. It's no big deal. Yeah, that was on the aisle for constipation. I'm just joking about that. So that's one option you have right there. Another thing that I like very, very much, and there's a lot of ways to do this, but one way is if you had a glass of apple juice, you might put it in the blender with about 2 heaping tablespoons of Epsom salt. Now, Epsom salt is very, very osmolytic. It has this ability to draw a huge amount of water into your bowels, which is what you want, because you're trying to wash them clean. But if you drink that down, well, most likely within about 1.5 to 2 hours, you'll be going to the bathroom if you did all these things.
Okay.
So that one suppository called Magic Bullet, that's probably one of the most effective, fast-working, over-the-counter remedies, if you can find it. It's not expensive at all.
And you say, if I can find it, so it's not real popular as far as being on the shelf of every drugstore.
Well, I'm just not in the know on that because I don't go hang out. If I were to go to CVS or Walgreens or Drug Emporium or just any pharmacy, Maydrug, I could find out if they have it. But what I would say is just take a look. Maybe they have it on the shelf at the store right now.
Okay.
I just don't remember seeing it. That's why I'm saying that. But it's called Magic Bullet, and it can work fast.
Okay.
Sometimes I'll also give a supplement called disodium phosphate. And that's just the way it is in the world. I mean, let's just say something happens. A person goes on a trip, or like in your situation, you have a little bit of a glitch with your health. And so you just can't go to the bathroom. Well, disodium phosphate capsules, that can really clear you out also. Now, I don't know if you've noticed, I haven't mentioned one laxative yet.
Right.
You can always do a laxative if you want. I mean, there is probably the gentlest one that I know of is a tea called Smooth Move Tea. You could drink that with your prunes. But they do sell a tea at almost every store called Smooth Move Tea. I think if we were to go on the aisle that sells coffee and tea, and I think they also have peanut butter and honey and jelly on the same aisle, bread's on the opposite side. But if you do that, you're probably going to have a pretty good bowel movement.
Okay.
Now, your backup plan is if you need to give yourself an enema. A coffee enema is one of the best ways to kind of purge the body of all time. So if you were to go on YouTube and type in, how do I take a coffee enema, they'll have plenty of videos showing you. Not in graphic of a sense, but, you know, just some of it may be computer animated.
Okay.
So that's one of the ways that we can start to, like, purge all this debris from your colon.
No, I'm sure there's some in there.
Yeah, and this is all good. So you're asking a great question.
All right. Well, thank you very much for your help. And
you're welcome. I hope this helps.
We appreciate your program.
Oh, you're welcome. Thanks a bunch. I'm glad you could tune in today. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay, there's a phone line open at 903-586-5257. You know, one of the techniques that can be done, I know this sounds brutal, but let me have another go at this. Let's just say that you're so backed up, you just cannot find your way clear. Well, if you just took a blender like a Vitamixer and put some apple juice in there and the olive oil and the Epsom salt, drink that down, see what happens. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Hi, Dr. Morgan. I was calling in to see, I've heard you speak on drinking collagen.
Yes, uh-huh.
I've just heard bits and pieces of, and just kind of wanted to get your take on it. I've had some. It seemed to work well for my joints, but I wanted to get your thoughts on it.
Well, the other day I came across an article about mangoes, and mangoes have one of the rare sources of vegetable collagen, which I thought that was cool.
Okay.
Which I'm not trying to sell you on mangoes, but I just thought, what if you were to make yourself a smoothie occasionally as a meal, and you were going to add some protein powder to it, and you could start loading it up with things that you knew were really, really good for your body as far as healing the joints and repairing damaged collagen, making sure your muscles and tendons and ligaments are happy and your skin's happy. Well, it might be a good choice if you're going to have some collagen to add to it. You might want to put some mangoes in there.
Okay, but you don't recommend the ones that are processed, the powders?
Oh, no. I do recommend those. I mean, there's so many out there, but one of the, I kind of like that one that's just inexpensive. It's made by a company called, I think it's called Great Lakes Collagen Hydrosylate.
Okay.
And so that's always been a really good one that works. I get good feedback. Some people just take a spoonful or two and they stir it in their coffee and they drink it.
Okay.
And they actually like it that way. But yeah, no, that powdered collagen, what they're doing, and the reason why I say the Great Lakes brand, it's kosher. And so they're not using any pork products at all, which I'm not totally against every bit of that. But if you want something that comes from a clean cow source, then you could use that one.
Okay, very good.
And it's not very expensive at all either. If you get a doctor to put a signature on it, you could triple the cost. It's just the same product.
And is that something you can find online or at a health
store?
Yeah,
absolutely. Okay. And I want to say the other day that I was at a store called Natural Grocer in Tyler, they had on the shelf, it's kind of like a green labeled can or canister.
Okay.
I think it was in the 20-something price range. But what you're doing is when you put collagen either in a smoothie or your coffee, or you stir it up and you drink it, or you add it to oatmeal, something like that, or applesauce, what you're doing is you're giving your body the basic building blocks of life. I always try to remind myself, we're mainly made of amino acids. I mean, minus the water. I mean, we're 70% water. That's a given. You can't have life without water. But collagen is like the structural building block or the infrastructure of all the muscles and all the ligaments and all the bones. Cartilage.
Okay, sure.
So it's just really, really essential.
All right. Sounds good. One more question.
Sure.
My mother was struggling with, I think she had COVID in January-ish. And ever since then, she's had a cough. And now she's gotten to where she can't hear. There's like blockage built up in her ears.
Oh, bless her heart.
Anything that can help. She's been going to a chiropractor to see if he can try to help, you know, relieve that fluid buildup.
Now, is the fluid buildup in the ears?
Yes. I mean, we're assuming so because she's almost lost her hearing.
Okay. Well, and I don't want to, like, overspeak here, but let me just talk about a couple of possibilities, and you just tell me yay or nay or if that makes sense or it doesn't. It's what you're always trying to do as a physician or a chiropractor or a massage therapist or whoever is examining the patient or a dentist, what you're doing is you're trying to figure out where the problem's coming from. And in my mind, I call that the focus. And the term focus means where is everything originating from? What's causing it? So you're trying to find out, is it coming from the ear? Is it the eustachian tube? Is it the tonsil? Is it the sinuses? Is it the back of the throat? Or is it just coming from the lungs? But it's easy for me to think that something is draining down in the lungs when she goes to sleep at night. And when you have this drainage, usually that means there's some type of infection. Now, you can have a low-grade infection. You still can live and you can breathe. You're not in intensive care. They don't have an oxygen tent over you. And so some of the ways that you can start to I can't explain how to do a physical examination to figure it out, but it's not hard to do if a person knows what they're doing. But what I would say is, if she has this continual low-grade infection, why don't we just start doing things that could help the body get well? And so here's what I would say right here. I'm going to hit you with a bunch of stuff. And that way you can just pick and choose which remedies that you think that your mama is willing to do, okay?
Okay.
Okay. Number one, I love the idea of steam bath breathing treatments. And the way that I almost always do those is I take like a steam kettle, put some water in it, bring it to a boil. But before you bring it to a boil, I really think if you can put maybe a quarter to a half a cup of apple cider vinegar in the water, and then maybe a spoonful of an herb called thyme or thyme, T-H-Y-M-E. If you can just stand within about a foot and a half of it, put a towel over your head, if your mama could just breathe that in deeply, she'll start to steam clean her sinuses.
Okay.
And it will start to dissolve all that gunky, hardened debris called biofilms and get it out. That's one thing.
Okay.
Another thing that she can do right now, they have this metal canister with a plastic spray tip. It comes pressurized from the factory, I guess, and it contains salt and eucalyptus. She could spray that up her nose and snort it up. I know that's real attractive for a woman to snort fluid up her nose. I'm just joking. But if she could do that, we could start to clear what's going on in her ears. The other remedy that I like, and it's just a short-term trial, if she had just 5 drops of white vinegar and 5 drops of alcohol, if she chose to put that in her ear, see if she gets relief that way, where it starts to drain. Another one that you... Do you live close to her?
She's in the Dallas area.
Where do you live?
I live in Elkhart.
Well, to me, that's no big deal. If you start walking right now, you'll be there this time next week. No, I'm joking.
Right.
There's a technique called beeswax ear candling.
Yes.
I have seen that work over and over. Now, if she was in front of me, I would just do a very specific procedure to her ear to pop open that eustachian tube so it could start to drain.
Okay.
And usually a chiropractor can do that real easy. I mean, it's a little bit off-putting for most people, but if you don't tell them what you're doing, you can just grab the ear and pull that eustachian tube open. Usually it pops pretty good. But then a person will say, what's that stuff draining down the back of my throat? I'm going, it's all that backlogged gunk. It's finally coming out. Please, spit it out. I'll send them straight to the restroom where they can spit that gunk out. So that's one thing. The other thing she can start doing is just gargling with salt water.
Okay.
The other technique is just gargling with I'm so sorry. I meant to say apple cider vinegar. Half apple cider vinegar, half water. If you start gargling, you're trying to drain all that gunk so it doesn't go down into her lungs at night. Now, this is just my opinion, because I've seen this work over and over again. There is a vitamin called vitamin A. The reason they call it vitamin A is because it's anti-infection vitamin. But all those mucus-lined membranes related to the ear, the tonsils, eustachian tube, and the lungs, they require vitamin A. And so if your mama's got a problem, we might want to give her some vitamin A just to help bolster the function of her immune system so we can get over this.
Okay. And is that in a pill form or a...
You can. Mm-hmm. The kind of vitamin A that I always go to, it's made from cow kidneys. I know that sounds gross, but that's what I like. It's just a whole food vitamin A.
Okay.
Now, the one herb that I'm probably going to focus on is called golden seal. Have you ever heard of Golden Seal before?
I've heard of it probably by you, yes.
Okay, well then Golden Seal is something that you want to consider any time that the mucus lined membranes of the lungs, the throat, the eustachian tubes, the inner ear, if that's all gunked up, that might be something that a person might research and choose to do on their own if they're trying to help themselves. Now, this is since January. Obviously, she's probably been to her medical doctor saying, I've got a problem. Can you help me?
Yes.
What did the doctor say?
I mean, they did an electrocardiogram on her and examined her lungs.
Okay. But not much has changed her status, right? Uh-oh, I lost you. Okay. So, we'll go back to the phone lines again. At least those are things that you can play with. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Hi, yes, I lost you there.
I noticed that you hung up on me because you didn't like what I was saying. No, I'm joking.
But anyway, all of her tests came back, and so they put her on allergy medication, a nose spray, an allergy pill. And anyway, so they basically did nothing. They said everything came back good.
I bet you $100 that's wrong. Listen, I've done this for 34 years. Every time somebody says, doctor says lab tests come back normal, no, they don't.
Right.
Even if you ask your mom to give you a copy of them, I bet you the lab test very precisely demonstrates that she's got an active infection. Well, I could be wrong about that. But this is what causes these things. When you have like an ear that won't ever clear, that's infection.
Mm-hmm. Okay, very good. And you know, she's had this cough, you know, that won't go away. I mean, it just has continued.
I was looking at an ear the other day. I won't say any more details than that, but I have never seen more earwax in my life. And so they actually sell those ear wax clearing kits. They're on the upper shelf of the store. Anywhere where you go where the pharmacy is, you can just always ask them, where are the ear wax cleaning kits? Those are worth a trial.
Okay. And that's something you can kind of do on your own?
Absolutely you can. Or if you were to make a visit all the way from Elkhart, which... if I'm not mistaken, Elkhart is way over there on the edge of our flat Earth, like right on the edge.
Yes, definitely.
Do you ever feel like you're going to fall off into outer space?
Yes, and I love it.
Okay, good. So if you had the ability to make a day of it, you might try candling her ears and pulling the ear eustachian tube open and just finding a way, what are we going to do to help Mom get well? How old is she, by the way?
She's 82.
82. I bet she's a great mom, isn't she?
She's an awesome mom, been very healthy, but just this has really taken its toll on her. And,
well, she's got an infection in there, I'm pretty sure of it. We just need to find a way to change the dynamics to drive that infection out. Did you grow up in the Dallas area?
No, I grew up in South Texas in the Corpus Christi area.
Oh, so you like pineapples and mangoes, right?
Not much of that down there. Sorry.
Oh, I was thinking. Boy, was I wrong. Do you like seafood?
Yes, I do. One more question. You mentioned that metal canister with the spray tip. Where would that be found?
I'm so sorry, I didn't finish that. It's called Arm & Hammer Simply Saline.
Okay.
And I like one that has the essential oil of eucalyptus added to it.
Okay. And that online purchase or where?
You can get that at the store, like any store you want, probably. You know, okay. I could have mentioned a neti pot also, but I'm thinking at 82, that might be a little tough for her, but sometimes neti pots work great.
Yes.
You know, if she's a tough woman, she could literally take a cup and put some salt in it and stir it up, and she could snort that stuff up her nose pretty quick.
Right. That sounds painful.
There's a product they sell at health food stores called Orega Max, and it's got oregano in it, which means this stuff is really strong. But if you snort that up your nose, it's almost like smelling salts.
Okay.
Pretty potent stuff.
Very good.
All right.
And what kind of salt would you use to mix in with that? Does it matter?
Well, I like the raw salt, so it could be everything from the pink Himalayan salt to Celtic salt. I like the taste of Redmond sea salt.
Okay.
So just any type of unprocessed salt. I don't know if you know this or not, but regular table salt. Mm-hmm. That stuff is covered with aluminum dust.
Okay.
That's how they keep those little granules of salt from sticking or clumping together, is they put aluminum powder on it. Not, that is in Espanol, that is no bueno.
Okay.
It is not, and the it's not going to hurt you one time. But if you have a lifetime of eating a refined salt with aluminum powder, you can't be shocked or surprised if your mind doesn't work so well as you get older.
Okay, very good. Sounds good. All right, I sure do appreciate your help.
Okay.
You have a-
yes, ma'am. Thanks a bunch. Bye-bye.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
You know what? I have to be careful what I read. Because if I literally read a book on brain health and aging, then you would become convinced that there's just no way out of it. Don't think that way. Always tell yourself you're going to get better. Good morning and welcome to the program.
Good morning. How are you today?
I'm doing pretty good, thanks.
Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am. I can hear you just fine. Sounds like you're on the tractor.
Well, I just turned off my radio, and I guess I didn't hit it right.
Well, that's all right. Now we got it all together now.
All righty. Well, my question is this. What can you do when you have low blood pressure to bring it up?
Well, do you have any fatigue at all?
I do have fatigue. I do exercises in the morning to try to get my arthritis under control.
Yeah.
And then when I get up, and I do them in bed, and then I get up and I'm really, really lightheaded. I take it and it is way below 100.
Oh, dear.
So well, I don't know how to get it up.
Well, let me ask you one more question.
Uh-huh.
When you sleep at night, do your hands and feet get cold?
Oh, absolutely. I have neuropathy.
Okay, so... Oh, I like that little add-on there at the end. But so when you go to church on Sunday morning and you shake hands with somebody, do they ever say, "Goodness, woman, did you just pull your hands out of the freezer?"
Well, my hands are not as cold as my feet are, but
right.
It does happen because sometimes they're kind of clammy.
All right, I'm going to make some statements here, and you're more than welcome to question everything that I say and decide whether or not it's true for you at all. But
okay.
Anyway... and I know I'm going overboard here, but just give me some artistic license, okay?
Give you what?
Give me artistic license.
Okay.
Let me just say it the way I want to. Okay.
Go ahead.
All right. What is the difference between the salt content of the ocean and your blood?
I have no idea.
Neither do I, because there's no difference whatsoever. And so what my point is obviously you've got to have salt to generate energy. It's
okay.
Just literally impossible. You cannot deliver oxygen to the mitochondria. That's where energy production takes place.
All right.
And so the number one symptom of a woman that's low in sodium, when I say sodium, I'm talking about the kind we're going to get from like raw salt, like pink Himalayan salt.
Uh-huh.
And so this is a real easy experiment. If you were willing to take maybe one teaspoon of Himalayan salt or Celtic salt, I mean, do your own research. You can Google it, look it up for yourself. But
sure.
You're going to have cold feet when you're low in salt.
Right.
And so if you were to just stir it into a cup of green tea and maybe add some pomegranate powder,
okay.
I think you'll tell me pretty quickly that you start to see a change for the better.
All right.
A lot of times also I'll notice that when a woman is low in salt, it is really easy for her to turn her foot the wrong way while she's sleeping at night and have a cramp.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
I have those.
Well, that'll all this, everything that you're telling me is going to completely disappear and go away just by giving your body the very thing that it needs. It's called salt.
Okay. All righty.
Could I interest you in some beef jerky this afternoon?
Well, it doesn't sound too good, but I guess I could try. I'm willing to try anything because when I'm sitting there and I'm thinking, what's going on here, and I'm so lightheaded, I'm afraid I'm 87, and I'm trying to keep from making a fall.
Well, I'll tell you what I would do if it were me.
Uh-huh.
Number one. If you had eggs for breakfast, I would sprinkle a generous amount of salt on them.
Okay.
And that's currently, you're not doing that, are you?
I am not because in the past I've been lowering my salt and everything tastes really salty to me.
Well, and I totally get that, but if you were to try a type of salt like Celtic or Celtic salt,
uh-huh.
Hopefully you'll change your opinion, but what we have to do is... You know, and this is only my analogy, but you know how if a child is born and they're 2 years old, if you say, sweetheart, we're going to start you off on the American diet right now. Right. We know you've been on a healthy diet, but we're going to give you chicken nuggets, and we're going to give you french fries, and we're going to give you some Coca-Cola. Well, guess what's going to happen to the taste buds of that child?
Yeah.
Before you know it, they won't want anything else but just junk food 24/7.
Right.
And so what you're going to do is you're going to try in the same way. We got to reset your body's thermostat for salt. You need it.
Okay.
And it may take you 2 weeks to get used to it, but I'm going to ask you to have a little bit of faith and just prayerfully, thoughtfully consider that one of the main issues is you're not getting the salt that your body needs, which means you're going to be physically weak.
Uh-huh.
You may have moments that you feel like your brain is cognitively just a little bit off.
Right.
I didn't say that in a bad way, did I?
Not really. Not
okay, good. That wasn't a slam towards you. I didn't mean it that way.
Right.
And so if you'll just by faith start consuming more salt, it's going to be a minimum of 1 teaspoon that you're going to have to add, even if you put a pinch of salt in every glass of water.
Water. Okay.
You probably need more like 1.5 teaspoons, to be honest with you.
Okay. All right.
And so if you'll do that, you're going to tell me that all of a sudden you start sleeping deeper and better and your mind races less and less throughout the day.
All right.
Does your mind ever kind of race and jump?
Oh,
from
good
one
grief, yes. I go to bed at night and it's
kind of hard to turn off.
It's solving the problems of the world.
Have you been successful solving any lately?
So far, nothing has worked out real well.
Well, what's the number one problem you would like to solve if you could?
Let me think. There's just so many, I'm not too sure which is my priority. I guess I would just like for people to get over being mad at each other.
Man, you ain't kidding. Well, you know what? It's hard to be mad at each other if you love your neighbor as yourself, isn't it?
True. That is true.
Man, if we would just do what God says, everything would work out great, wouldn't it?
It certainly would. But
okay, so here's what I would do. You're going to work on somewhere between 1 and 1.5 teaspoons of salt. If that seems reasonable to you, but I don't want you to use common table salt.
No.
Okay. So I mentioned 3 or 4, but just look for a raw salt that doesn't have all that aluminum powder in it.
Right. Okay.
Number two.
Uh-huh.
I would personally start taking an adaptogen, and that can be everything from, do you know what red ginseng is?
I do.
All right. That's probably the easiest one to go to.
Okay.
And then on top of that, now this is what I would do if it were me. I would make about 2 to 3 cups of green tea.
Okay.
And the last time I checked, they still sell that at the grocery store or the health food store. And I would add a big spoonful of what's called pomegranate powder to it.
Pomegranate powder, okay.
Yeah, you might even want to throw in like a spoonful of organic blueberry powder, too, just to make it easy on you.
Okay.
And if you will sip that and say, Lord, thank you for making this delicious tea for me. This is great. And if you want to put a pinch of salt in that, that's fine. But the goal is, over the course of the day, give your body these things. I would probably also supplement with 2 other things. One is an element called iodine.
Okay.
And another one is an element called magnesium.
Mm-hmm.
And let's see if all your fortunes begin to turn around and change for the better.
All right.
Now, if you want to live in a fantasy world, you'll say, I think I'll have liver and onions today for lunch.
Oh, well, I'm going to have to think about that one.
Oh, you mean I had you up until the liver and onions?
Yes, I can go to green tea and I can go all those other things. The liver kind of turns me off.
You mean I lost you at the liver?
Oh, you lost me at the liver.
You know, I can't be perfect. I mean, nobody's perfect, are they?
Well, no, not yet.
Okay. Well, let me know how this turns out, but I think you'll tell me that you're a new woman and you're really happy in about 10 days.
Well, I'm headed right now to go take my blood pressure. I better put my tea kettle on to start brewing some tea then.
Skip the blood pressure treatment and just go ahead and turn the kettle on.
And just go for that. And then I'll go for that and get my salt this morning.
What time are you going to be there? I'll meet you there.
Oh, okay. Well, probably as soon as I can get my blood pressure up.
You mean like about 9:30?
Something like that.
Okay. I'll meet you there. And if I see a woman scratching her head trying to figure out the salt, I'll come over and help me. I'll dump it directly in your basket.
Okay. Well, thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thank you, ma'am.
Bye-bye. See you later. Bye-bye.
Okay, there is a phone line once again open at 903-586-5257. Okay, I am being very direct with you at this point. If somebody has congestive heart failure and they have a great weakness, it's a disaster to avoid real salt. You're going to die if you do. You got to have it. It means life. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Good morning, Dr. Morgan.
How are you?
Oh, good, thank you. I had a question. I see that you have spoken to someone regarding this, but I could be wrong. Pain in your foot, just one, and comes and goes. There's no particular reason. I show up, but it's almost unbearable to walk on it. And it's not related to shoes, or can be during a leisure day, or can be during after a long day. It just comes and goes. It's just weird.
Well, what's the exact location in your foot?
The sole of the foot.
The sole. Do you mean the front foot pad, the ball of your foot?
No, the back.
Like the heel?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Yes, that is. Sorry.
No. And what you may have is you may have some version of inflammation of the calcaneus, or you may have a heel spur or plantar fasciitis. So when you lay in bed at night and you go to sleep, are you free of pain at night?
Yes, it's only when I stand up and walk, and it's not all the time.
Is it more prominent when you stand up first thing in the morning as you arise from your sleep?
Not necessarily.
Okay. Well, I think pinpointing where it's coming from might be beneficial, but this is the radio. I can't do that. So yeah. Let me tell you what I would consider or recommend. Do you have a pencil handy?
Yes, sir.
Okay. I'm just going to kind of blast you with several different ideas. But one of the things that you could look at, and so if you're standing up, and you just tell yourself, I'm going to stand in my normal posture, and then I'm going to examine my posture. So if somebody stands up and their feet, instead of being pointed forward, that's called the neutral position of the feet. If your feet are very straight and just natural relaxed, that's ideal. That means you have a neutral foot posture. That's a good thing. Now, if a person standing where one foot is pointing straight forward, let's just say, which one of your feet is the one that hurts?
The left.
Oh, I knew it. It's always the left. No, I'm just joking about that. So let's just say that your right foot is pointing straight forward. That's a good neutral position for the foot. But your left foot is flaring out a little bit, kind of like duck feet.
Mm-hmm.
That means you're very biased biomechanically. Your body's favoring one side that's working right while the other side is not doing its job. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So that's one way of doing it. So if you're standing up right now, are you in the car?
No, but I'm not a place I can take my shoes off to do it.
Well, you don't have to take your shoes off. You just stand in your shoes.
Okay.
So are you standing right now?
Yes.
If you're just relaxed, what is the direction your left foot is pointing?
Inside.
Inside?
It's pretty much straight, but if I were to pick a direction, it would be towards the inside.
Okay, and so that may point out there's a little bit of a biomechanical fault there. So what I would do is there's a website called YouTube, and I would type in foot mobility exercises.
Foot mobility.
Mm-hmm. And that is one specific way that you can heal and fix that foot pain.
Okay.
All right. Now, I know the podiatrists don't like me talking about this because they want you to come in and get orthotics that cost $800 million.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm not trying to criticize that, but I don't think that fixes anything for the most part. There's a type of a shoe called a zero drop shoe. You ever heard of those?
No.
And so if you're at work and you're up and moving and doing your normal duties, and I mean, you are pretty physically active, aren't you?
Yes, sir.
And so during the course of the day, you're going to be putting some stress and strain on that foot, and you want it to be able to perform properly and not get worse. So a zero drop shoe, you could probably buy a pair for $40.
Uh-huh.
You can also spend more if you want to, but I'm just telling you, you can find them relatively cheap. And it may be that $40 is not cheap, but you know, the way that I look at this is you always get what you pay for. And if you buy a pair of shoes for $4, they're probably not going to be good materials, right?
Sure. So zero drop shoe is the name.
Yeah, well, it's called a type of a shoe. I don't really know all the different brand names.
Sure, I can Google that too.
I think if you go to kbgs.org, we sell them online for $400. I'm just joking. No, but you could look up, if you were to go to a website or just look up the idea of a zero drop shoe, that would be one way that you could say, okay, this is making sense. That way you can read about them. But a zero drop shoe is designed to put your foot in the very best position for normal function. Okay. The other thing that I'm in love with, I can't get hardly anybody to do it, but it's just walking barefoot. Now, if you're in your home, take your shoes off.
Okay, this is going to ask, because you mentioned so much about walking on the grass.
Oh, yeah.
But so it can be barefoot anywhere, if possible.
Well, we got to play the hand we're dealt. And so you don't live outside in the forest, do you?
Nope, I wish. No, not quite.
I can make that happen for you. No, I'm joking. But if you start doing more of walking on uneven surfaces called dirt and grass, I think that's going to be a smart decision right there. And the other things that you can do is you could take fresh lemon juice and you could just gently rub the rind of a lemon or the lemon juice all over that area and let it soak in. And then maybe rub it with some castor oil. All you can do is see what happens.
Okay, I've been doing the castor oil every night.
That's so smart.
Rub the lemon as well.
The other modern techniques. I'm sorry, I just talked over you. Please forgive me.
No, you're fine.
What I was going to say, I look at these advertisements, and I know you don't know this, but if you're involved in healthcare, you just get bombarded daily by sales pitches, because what they want is they want a doctor to have a high-tech practice that emphasizes very, very expensive equipment, but you already know how that works.
Yeah.
If you have a bunch of expensive equipment, what are you going to recommend to patients? The expensive equipment, right?
Correct.
And if all you have is this, if this is your technique that makes you a lot of money, you're going to recommend it. It's just the way it works. Yeah. But I was looking at this advertisement that came in the mail this week, and they were selling these red light or infrared light box therapies, and the price was just outrageous. But if you were to go on a different website and find out what would it cost me to get it directly, but that is one thing that I have seen work over and over again. So can I just give you an example?
Sure.
Okay, let's just say that you went to a website called Amazon.com. I'm only using that because Sure. You can look up almost anything, whether it's a book you're interested in, you want to look at the table of contents, well, you could do it on that website. There's probably other ones. That's just one I'm familiar with. But if you were to type in on Amazon, red light therapy, then what you're going to find out real quick is there's all these different red light therapies. Some of them are very inexpensive, but they emit a wavelength of light, and they can emit what's called the near-infrared and far-infrared spectrum. But if you start looking at the studies on this, there's probably easily 20 to 30,000 studies showing that these light therapies, which are very, very safe, are so good to heal damage or injuries to an area.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that's one thing that you could look at. But applying that, I mean, I saw a guy not that long ago, and let me be careful how I'm going to say this. He's not what I would call in good physical condition, and his health is not good. Mm-hmm. His circulation is horrible. I could literally press my thumb onto some broken veins around his ankle, and all I'm doing when I do that, it's just a simple test. You're trying to squeeze the darkened oxygen poor blood out of the veins.
Yeah.
And then once you take your thumb off, I said, hey buddy, let's just count the seconds until your veins fill back up. Well, it took 5 seconds, and what that means is his capillary beds, they're toast. He's got really bad circulation. So those red light therapies are one of the ways that you can fix that.
Okay.
Because it greatly improves blood flow and circulation. Of course, there's a million things dietarily. But yeah, to make a long story short, he was able to take, he had a very, very bad knee.
Mm-hmm.
And he got one of those small devices that he could just kind of take a Velcro strap and strap it over his knee. And he said, I would just sit down every day for a period of time while I did my therapy. And I said, well, how did it work? He said, well, after 30 days, I'm pain-free. Well, I would call that healing. And number one, it didn't involve an injection of cortisone, which I hate unless it's necessary. If it's necessary, I'm all for it. I am all for steroids if they're necessary. But if they're not, you know what the woman told me this week? I said, what happened when you took steroids? She said, well, you'll never sleep again, and you'll gain 30 pounds in 1 month. Anyway, so those are some of the side effects of steroids. So he used this red light therapy every day, and you know what he did? He bought it with his own money, which he purchased it for very, very cheap.
Yes.
But that's one option. The other thing that I like, any time that you have a foot or an ankle, have you ever heard of flossing?
Yes, no, I don't.
Well, it's maybe the same terminology, but flossing the foot is a technique. You could go to YouTube and you could type in how to floss the foot or flossing tape. And I have seen that work, and you just put this, it looks like a strip of inner tube from a bicycle tire. Usually it's colored either red. Red's usually the color that I use over black. Black's a little bit stiffer. And you could floss your foot and your ankle and then walk around for a couple minutes. You could do that every day. But I'm telling you, I've seen that stuff work wonders. And I hate to break it to you, but flossing tape is going to cost you, let me see, $7.95.
Wow.
I know.
Can manage that.
But, you know, in what I was getting to earlier, because I thought about that when I was driving in, there's such a, and I know you don't know this, but I'll just tell you. I think the class ahead of me back in the 80s when I was in chiropractic college down in Pasadena, Texas Chiropractic, I think they had 102 students. Mm-hmm. And in the class next to them, they had like 97 students. And in my class, I think we had 84 or 86 students. Well, I got the news bulletin in the mail the other day from the chiropractic college, and I think they were graduating exactly 8 students. And I'm going to just tell you how this is going to work. There's not going to be any chiropractors down the road because nobody's choosing to become a chiropractor because they can't afford it.
Uh-huh.
It's too expensive to go to school. It's just outrageous. Yeah, you could go to school, but it's going to cost hundreds of thousands of dollars to be able to get a chiropractic degree. So right now, when you have all that debt, what is the push? Let's get the most expensive equipment so we can do the most expensive treatments so you can pay back your loan. Anyway, you know where I'm coming from, right?
Sure.
I don't think that way at all. I think what is the safest, simplest, cheapest remedy to try to fix the situation? And I'm happy.
Yeah.
I don't need an office that costs me $1 million a month in overhead. No, 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 no. I'm just not wired that way. So that's why I like things like flossing tape that might set you back $10 if you buy a roll of it. And if you pay your internet bill and electricity, then you can watch these videos on YouTube. But if you start looking up foot and ankle mobility exercises, you're going to be better off.
Okay. I will definitely look at that. And since you brought out the red light therapy, what do you think of laser therapy? Have you heard of it?
Well, tell me exactly what you have in mind.
I have my back, lower back was inflamed, and we have some friends that have a, actually it's an alternative treatment clinic, and he said that how laser therapy can be healing for them to help restore the area and good against the inflammation. So, and it's basically like a red therapy, whatever this machine is.
Yeah, but you notice that I led with foot mobility exercises because if you don't fix and heal the problem, you're gonna need endless therapies the rest of your life.
No, I was not connecting the foot to that. I just was curious since I had you to see your opinion.
Well, when your friend told you about this alternative therapy clinic that offers lasers, what was the price of a treatment?
$60.
That's pretty cheap compared to other treatments.
Uh-huh.
I'm all for trying it. But anyway, can I make one more point? I know I'm on my soapbox here.
No, go ahead.
Okay, if you have pain in your body, let's just say that you go to a massage therapist.
Mm-hmm.
If the problem is resolved instantly and you feel like $1 million, then good. But what if the only way that you can get relief is you have to go to the massage therapist every week for the rest of your life?
Yeah.
That tells me they're dealing with a secondary issue and they're not getting to the root cause of the problem. And I know I'm being kind of drastic here, but there's no end to taking handfuls of Tylenol and Advil to deal with pain.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no end to taking drugs and injections and therapies. So the way that my mind is wired is, how do we fix this problem on our own? And I'm just going to be kind of bold here and tell you what I think.
Sure.
God has given you everything you need to fix your body. It's already there, but we got to tap into it. And so The reason why, you go get all the laser treatments you want, that's fine. But the only thing that ever really, really works is restoration of function. Mm-hmm. That means you gotta take those sticky, tight, inflamed, Velcro fastened muscles and you gotta loosen them up.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, literally, if you were at my office and I took my thumbs with maybe olive oil and I started digging through those layers of muscles and you screamed out in pain, I would say no wonder you hurt. Because your muscles are basically glued together, and they're not supposed to be. They're supposed mm-hmm. to slip and slide without any effort. And so mm-hmm. if we don't fix these problems, it's just going to be a lifetime of therapies. But if the laser gets you to the point where you can start working out more, then good.
No, I'm like you. I prefer something to fix it myself if I can. And so I've been walking and stretching exercise, and so it's helping. I did go for a couple of and it felt good at the moment, but
absolutely.
I do not want to do long term.
No, and I'm all for that. I'm all for people going and getting therapies like that. It's all fine.
Yeah, my chiropractor being out of commission, so.
How come your chiropractor's out of commission?
He had to go have a surgery.
Oh, no. Bless his heart. Or her heart.
Yeah, it's his, but it's... Anyhow,
I hate that, but no, I get it, so...
So that's why I got inflamed, because I didn't get the regular adjustment, and...
Well, what happens when you get regular adjustments? Does it make the inflammation go away?
It is an area that I have to continue being treated.
Yeah, and that's my only point right there. Mm-hmm. And so that means we're not addressing the functional issue with your muscles and tendons and joints. And there's a lot of ways to do that. But, I mean, the ball's in your court. You take care of yourself the best you can. It sounds like you're doing a good job. But I bet you it's more simple than what they're telling you.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, maybe one of these days I'll let you figure it out for me if I can't get around to it.
I don't, ma'am, I don't know that I'm qualified. That would require a lot of brain matter to figure something like that out. Okay. All right, well, keep up the good work, and I hope your chiropractor gets well really fast.
Yeah, me too. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, there's about 2 minutes left in the program. That may not be enough time to even take another phone call. The number here is 903-586-5257, and you're thinking, well, why'd you give out the phone number then? I guess I'm on autopilot. Okay, the whole goal of healing is restoring function. So can I just use the examples from today? If somebody has an infection in their ear, we need to do whatever we can to help it. Help the body heal itself. Well, what if somebody has pain in their foot? Well, you have to start the process of correcting the imbalances in the body to get to the point where you can actually heal. And that does require work and effort, which I know there was a time in America, kind of like a gentleman was telling me the other day, he said, what would happen if the electric grid went down for a season and there was no more electricity? Well, there's a lot of people that don't know what it's like to live without air conditioning and PlayStation and just fill in the blank. Well, sure, it would be hard. But you got to tell yourself, I've got everything that I need to help my body heal. You know what the most important thing is? It's your attitude. It really is. Because if you have an attitude that says that you can do these things, yeah, I know. There's a lot of people that are listening right now. They have probably a big hurdle or a series of hurdles in front of them, and they think this is too much to get over. Well, I know it seems that way, but you got to be willing to start. I mean, what if your legs just don't work very well? Well, set your mind like Flint that you're going to start training them. It's really as simple as that. And guess what you do when you do that? You wake up the part of the brain that services the legs and the feet. But you got to convince yourself that you're an athlete. That's really the only thing that matters. Make your body obey you. Make it move and do things that you can't do easily. And you know what? There's always a starting point. You're listening to KBJS, FM 90.3, Jacksonville, Tyler, Longview.